Tonight on the Band from Ringside podcast, we have your Survivor Series recap, your NXT TakeOver War Games 2 recap, some big news in the world of indie wrestling, and a whole bunch more tonight on the Thanksgiving edition of Band from Ringside. Ditch that 9-to-5. It's time to feel alive. Hello, Mark. So welcome to the Band from Ringside podcast. I am your host, Bill Vagie, a.k.a. Pumpkin Shasta Pie. And to my right, as always, we have Two Beer, Zach Pullman. What's going on, Two Beer?
Gobble, gobble, motherfucker. I'm ready to eat a lot of food tomorrow.
Yeah, me too. And Candy Corner for him, we have Murray, the Murray Man. Murray, what's going on, Merman?
Not much. Just hanging out with you fellas, having a beer.
It's the biggest bar night of the week, so... biggest bar night of the year, I should say. So you deserve that beer, Murray. You work hard. JCB, because it's one of the busiest nights of the year, and because we're recording on a different night, is not here, but he will chime in from time to time. We have him directly channeled in, so when he's not helping one of his many customers, he will chime in with some little JCB-isms, shall we call it. We got a bunch of stuff to go over tonight. Before we get too far into it, we are coming at you from the exquisite Shock City Studios in beautiful St. Louis, Missouri. Not too cold out there, though we had a big snow last week. It's kind of nice outside. Our day one-ish sponsor, brought to you by Soul Taco tonight. Soul Taco is that Mexican-Korean fusion food that you didn't know that you need, but once you have it, you have to have it. It is the best. They got places in the U-City Loop in St. Louis, Chesterfield, Missouri, Columbia, Missouri, Champaign, Illinois, Chicago, Illinois. They also have two food trucks driving around the St. Louis area and two more locations opening up, both in the Illinois area. Another one in Chicago, another one in Naperville, I believe. So,
did I hear about some new menu items or did I dream them?
I haven't heard about any new menu items.
I might have dreamt them.
You might.
I've definitely dreamt about Soul Taco before.
That's how good Soul Taco is, that you might dream about it. So go get it. They got some tacos, quesadillas, burritos, all the best. They got the kimchi fries. I recommend the spicy pork personally, but if you go with the chicken or the steak or even the tofu, my wife will get the tofu sometimes and she likes that too. Go get yourself some Soul Taco. Our second sponsor, almost that day one-ish, is JJ Twiggs on Southampton. That is a glorious place to catch a game, catch a Blues game, catch a football game, get yourself some unique kinds of pizza. And it's a cool place to take the family. It's a cool place just to hang out. Sometimes you might find me bellied up at the bar there. If you do, I'll buy you a drink. Say that, hey, I listen to BFR. You're BFR Bill, right? And I'll be like, no, I don't know I don't know what you're talking about, actually. Is that wrestling? You mean the fake stuff? And then I'll tell you to go away. But that doesn't mean you can't enjoy your pizza. So
a couple people came out last Sunday, and be some people going to JJ Twiggs on us. We handed out some gift cards. So
yeah, and yeah. Yeah, Murray and Zach were at the, go ahead and explain, what was the event that
we went to?
BFR
South Broadway Athletic Club. Four Hands does an annual wrestling show with Dynamo Pro. There's always food vendors. This year was Strange Donuts. They always brew a special beer. This year was a vanilla orange creamsicle beer, dreamsicle beer. It's delicious.
I would try
it. It was pretty tasty.
Yeah, we slammed a couple. Definitely slammable. No pun intended. Oh my God.
That's good. That's real good.
But no, it was a good time. Handed out a bunch of merch. My car is a lot lighter now, and handed out a bunch of gift cards at JJ Twiggs. So all you got to do is hit us up. We got them.
And thank you for everybody who actually subscribed that night. Hopefully, you know.
Yeah, maybe we got some first-time listeners here.
Right, so thanks for coming out and showing out for us.
Yeah, we got CM the Mauler Maul, Mr. Perfect in the house, turning the knobs tonight. But without further ado, let's get to our three counts. So the one count is going to be what is historically considered one of the big four WWE pay-per-views. I think Money in the Bank has kind of slipped in there as making it one of the big five pay-per-views, but Survivor Series was on Sunday, and Survivor Series was one of those pay-per-views that it seemed like there were some low expectations going into it, particularly with Becky Lynch's injury the week before at the hands of Nia Jax, and that's a shoot injury. She got jacked in the face, and if you didn't see it, she came out the next night with a pretty large black eye. I will say that Survivor Series, and perhaps it was because of my lower expectations, delivered.
Absolutely.
I thought it was a great pay-per-view. It started off slow. You know, the women's 5-on-5 wasn't much to write home about. The men's 5-on-5, I thought was strange that three Raw contenders ended up being the survivors, but I guess kayfabe style, Braun and Drew McIntyre, and who am I missing? Who's
Bobby
the third
Lashley?
One?
There's
Bobby
Lashley. The biggest dudes.
The biggest dudes were the last guy standing. That was fun.
I thought they were going to have Shane fucking pin them all.
Yeah, me too.
I said it at the party that I was at Tinder Mahal's house. When Shane was the last one, I was like, man, they better not do it. But in the way that they told the story, I was happier with those three guys being left over than Shane even pinning one of those last three guys. Because Shane, kayfabe style, should have no business beating any one of those guys in the ring.
I think maybe they were trying to space out him being so, getting him over like that, though. You know, they weren't going to give him everything every night from here on out.
I think it's clear that he's headed towards a WrestleMania match somewhere.
I have theories with that one, too. So.
Somewhere down the line. The Buddy Murphy Mustafa Ali match was off the chain. Awesome. Buddy Murphy has star written all over him. Mustafa Ali's one of the best workers in the company, if you ask me. That might be overstating it, but
yeah, if you're an indie fan, that was probably your favorite match.
Buddy Murphy's finisher, I don't know what he calls it, is the best finisher. That's my favorite finisher going right now. I like it more than any other finisher. Ronda versus Charlotte was also a very well-told story. It was a sloppier match, but if you're having a brawl,
I think it needed to be. It was
yeah,
good
I didn't
sloppy.
Mind it being sloppy at well, all. No. It seemed like a fight.
Right.
Every one of Ronda's matches, and you can see this in the Mickie James match on Monday, if she doesn't practice, she doesn't look good.
Right.
But they did practice for 3 days, and, I mean, that match delivered, especially because I was so disappointed with Becky being not being able to compete. I didn't have like super high hopes for it.
Yeah, same here.
But it delivered. And then Charlotte's beatdown was definitely memorable. The only thing I'm worried about is with her beatdown, you know, which was good. And then Monday, whenever she did it to the Iconics, I just feel like they're just doing everything they were going to do with Becky Lynch with Charlotte. And then what happens when Becky comes back? Is it they're two of the same characters? Like, what the fuck are they doing?
Yeah, it didn't. Well, let's talk about this Ronda Charlotte match a little bit. What do you think, Murray?
I loved it. I mean, like I said, I didn't go into it thinking it was going to be a terrible match because Becky wasn't in it. Don't get me wrong. Right. I was upset that Becky wasn't a part of it.
In fact,
I was
we talked about
that.
Last year that it might be best in the long run Becky.
Absolutely. No, and I think so. So, thing is, I love Charlotte Flair. No matter what, sure. I love Charlotte Flair. She's amazing. And Ronda is proving week after week that she's going to hold herself up for a while.
She keeps getting better.
And that match had me constantly on edge. Yeah. And like, who's going to hurt who? Not like Nia, but like
right.
two professional wrestlers.
Sure.
So, but no, I loved it personally. I thought it was a great match.
It was a good match.
The beatdown angle at the end was definitely, I think you alluded to it, that was probably what they were planning for Becky anyway.
Yeah, and I mean, it was a legit beatdown. She had welts all over from those kendo sticks.
With the head in the chair spot was pretty nasty also.
That Pillman spot, that's one of my favorite things. Like, it's one of the legacies that Pillman gave us was that, like, whenever he did that to, was it Brett's ankle?
Mm-hmm.
When I was a kid, I was like, oh my God, you know, like, it just looks so, it's worked, but it looks so brutal.
Well, the thing is, you know, they may be trying to just kind of roll over what they were planning on doing with Becky with Charlotte, but then on SmackDown, Charlotte kind of played it off still as a heel, you know, saying that she did it for SmackDown.
She didn't go after the fans, though, which she started to do on Twitter after the match on Sunday night.
I saw that,
but she didn't go after the fans, which makes me think that maybe they started rethinking things, like this might be too quick to turn her heel.
I mean, they did the same thing with Becky. Becky went after the fans and it didn't work. Right. You know, it would have been the same with Charlotte. I mean, you can't beat down the Iconics and get booed.
Well, and one of the things, too,
that's exactly right.
They were saying that, you know, a lot of people are saying you know, the whole everybody booing Ronda at the end.
That was kind of fucked up.
It was, but at the same time, like, I think that just was a was transferred over from everyone just loving the fact that Flair did something heelish,
like Becky would have.
Exactly.
Yeah, so they were it's a smarky crowd.
They were booing Ronda, in my opinion.
Right, and it's a smarky crowd, and certainly in the last 3 or 4 weeks building up to the match, people were way more into Becky than they were into Ronda. Now, that doesn't necessarily go away when somebody gets replaced at the last minute. They still want to see the person that they wanted to get beat a week ago still get beat, because as a fan, you're like, wait a minute. Okay, fuck this person. I'm rooting for Becky Lynch, even though Becky Lynch was kind of positioned as the heel. I guess not completely, but...
Yeah, and it's just weird, too, with the social media stuff. Like, Rousey's promos, like... You know, they have like some authenticity to them, but like that whole like millennial man stuff is not.
That's what did it.
Yeah, it doesn't honestly get you over. Like, I mean, I don't like it. People don't like it.
Oh, that's a heel thing to say.
It was absolutely a heel thing.
That's. I mean, you don't go after millennials unless you're trying to get heel heat.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess all our parents are heels.
Right.
Yeah.
It's fucked up. Thanksgiving's gonna be weird.
Yeah. It was going to be weird anyway, brother. And then the main event of the match was, to me, I mean, Ali Buddy Murphy was that was the work rate match of the night. But the match of the night for me, even though Charlotte Ronda was great, was Brock Bryan. 'Cause
awesome.
It was an awesome match.
The match was genius.
It was awesome.
Tell me why you thought it was genius, because I know why I thought it was genius.
I'll tell you why it was genius.
And we haven't talked
about
it.
Because I fucking hated it for like 5 minutes.
Maybe more.
I mean, yeah. I hated it so much. And I tell you what, it was still one of my biggest pet peeves with the show. The first thing that happened was Brock threw Daniel Bryan on his fucking head. And I'm like... You guys are both talented enough. Brock should be able to be careful enough to not throw the guy with neck injuries and concussion history to the point where you can end his career and or life, and you cannot throw him on his fucking head. You could just not do that, and it's the first thing that happened. And my wife's watching it, and she's like, he doesn't look okay. And I was like, I don't think he looks okay. And I even tweeted, I was like, fuck this, fuck Vince, fuck Lesnar, fuck WWE. And I was like, done.
I don't want to talk shit about Tara. I love your wife. She got worked.
Well, yeah. I mean, I got worked, too. I still didn't like that he dumped him
on
his head.
You always get worked, though. I mean, the only time she's ever got worked before is when she agreed to marry you. Oh! Go ahead.
But, tease my ass or something.
Yeah, so the main reason I think it was genius is because it played on every Lesnar match that we've all hated in the past however many years, and then it gave us that Daniel Bryan underdog hope.
Oh, man.
And he was brutal. His heel, the American Dragon, Daniel Bryan heel is fucking brutal, and I love it. Yeah. And it was great.
Murray, thoughts?
Yeah, like, we all obviously thought we were going to go into it thinking it was going to be a squash match just because...
Or something akin to it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And no, it turned out exactly in my... Even with Brock winning, it turned out exactly how it should have gone. It was a great fucking match.
Both guys got elevated. I mean, as much as you can elevate Braun or Brock, I like that Brock sold a lot for Bryan.
Sold the shit out of it once it got on Bryan's side of the match.
And yeah, when Brock wants to, he can sell, and he's really good at it.
He seemed motivated.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Brock, for as much as, you know, us diehards hate him for being, you know, a part-timer and a guy that's not always there and a guy that doesn't always seem like he's putting his all into everything, I think that he realized, at least just from watching him, I think that he realized that this was a big match, and this was a match that people wanted to see.
Well, and it was probably fun for him, too, because he's always got big those, you know, he's got Roman, he's got Braun.
Right.
And back in the day, he was wrestling Eddie Guerrero and, you know, right. Kurt Angle and those guys. That's probably more what he wants to be doing if he's going to be there anyway.
You so can tell he was having fun mocking the crowd. Suplex City doing the fucking chants.
Oh, awesome. Yeah.
So
awesome.
It made me love both of them.
I echo both of your statements. I also thought that I love Daniel Bryan, heel Daniel Bryan.
Me too.
Like, I love him. And I like that he played both sides of the card the other night, because him like running around like trying to avoid being hit by Brock Lesnar while he, like kayfabe style, he should be afraid to get hit by Brock Lesnar. He was also doing it with like the smirk on his face. Like that was so heelish.
Yeah.
Even the match was over, he was smiling about it.
Yeah. And then when it came time to get the hope spot and the comeback spot, he kind of turned it on, but he never stopped being a heel. Mm-hmm. And he got the crowd got behind him because of course, like, you know, the same thing, the reason they wanted to see Ronda Rousey get beat up. It's like, people still want to love Daniel Bryan, even though his promo on SmackDown was fantastic, I thought.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
But he, being able to play both the heel and the face throughout that match, which was probably like a 14-minute match, you know, longer than Brock Lesnar's fought in a long time, probably because he's only tossing the guy that weighs 190 pounds instead of of Braun Strowman, was, I think that Daniel Bryan's a freaking genius, and I'm glad that he is back being a heel because it seems to have refreshed him and inspired him quite a bit.
1850. That's got to be the longest Brock match in
1850.
A long time, yeah.
That's part of what I wasn't expecting. You know, I was expecting it to be a 6-minute match, and
it also came on at like 9 o'clock Central Time, and it's like, wait a minute, this thing's gonna end on time. Like I can be in bed at a decent hour tonight. Couple other thoughts. I guess we've gotten through the good stuff. Now we can talk about the bad stuff. AOP versus the Bar was a turd.
It was the worst match on the show, and didn't help about the Enzo thing, but outside of that, it was a terrible match.
Ooh, I want to talk about the Enzo thing.
And Drake Maverick pissing himself was fucking Drake classic Maverick. Vince awfulness.
Yeah,
I'll say this, Drake pissing himself, I was sitting next to Vice, friend of the show, always also gives me my AKAs, even though he didn't tonight, but I don't think he knew that we were recording, which is fine. He's out having a good time. But I was sitting next to him, and we had just partaken in some... It's legal in most states. It's RVD? Just not legal here, you know?
Sodomy?
Yes.
RVD.
We had just partaken in some sodomy, which is this... It's this really killer strain of weed called sodomy.
Fucks you right in the ass.
I'll admit, I laughed. I laughed when Drake Maverick pissed himself. I laughed.
God, I have a problem with that, though, because on Monday, all they did was fucking pick on him and bully him after
then,
that.
Then it wasn't. The Monday stuff, the Monday stuff when I was sober watching it, I was like, oh, that's not funny. Like,
well, they're also anti-bully in WWE, and then they did a whole angle on Monday about bullying.
Yeah, picking on the little guy for peeing his pants. Anyway, not cool for the 8-year-olds in the crowd.
Who actually pissed their pants.
Who actually pee their pants, right.
What about Enzo, who probably pissed his pants after getting attacked by the security guard?
All right, I want to talk about Enzo, and
but not too much, because that's what he wants.
No. I'm not completely anti what Enzo did.
No, I ain't. I don't.
I mean, he's just trying to get himself over.
But I mean, he's
an idiot.
I just want to know. So, for those of you that don't know, Enzo hid in the crowd he bought like a third row seat, second row seat, or something. Hid in the crowd, had a hat down low, and during the AOP bar match, stood on his chair and started doing his promo without a microphone. Now he quickly got taken down by security,
Bret Hart,
and he was obviously trying to get himself over. The reason that I respect it, if it's not a work.
I don't think they're doing work with Enzo.
I don't think it's a work. Tender texted me the next day. He's like, you know, there's rumors that it's a work. I was like, that's not a work.
Of course there is.
It takes some balls to go out and do that. I don't mind him. He's got a new album coming out. I don't know what it's called. You guys should all go
buy
it.
That's exactly why he did this.
Yeah, who cares? It's Enzo. He's not going to make any money.
He even tweeted about it right afterwards because he had gotten kicked off a plane like 2 days before that. I saw that on Reddit.
For vaping.
For vaping. And so he tweeted. It
just keeps getting cooler and cooler.
It had to be as soon as he left the fucking Staples Center because he tweeted. He's like, yo, I guess no vaping in the Staples Center. Eh? Like, that was his real tweet that came out at like 7:47. Like, you know, like he had just.
That's really funny.
He must have. I know.
Will you say that again? That was a really good Enzo.
I couldn't. Just rewind the back. Hey. Hit that backwards 30 seconds,
no,
boys.
No.
So the thing is, though, like, then Tommy Dreamer tweeted, hell, cool, we did this like 30 years ago. But that was a work.
That was a work. It was him and Heyman and...
And Scott Hall did it before that.
Well, yeah. So, like... All right, no, who, shut
was,
up, who
was... The, there was a... It was,
it
the,
was Dream, I think Taz.
Yeah, it was no, Taz, Dreamer, and
that was
Heyman.
Taz with hair? I saw the picture. It wasn't RVD? Taz. No, no, no.
I don't know. Anyway, the point being,
it was like Sandman.
Tommy Dreamer
something.
Tried to chime in on. It's like, all right, you were getting paid by McMahon. Shut up. Right. That Enzo was definitely not being paid by McMahon.
No, that wasn't a work by Enzo. It was really funny though.
If you think about it in terms of advertisement, would he pay like $300 for that third row seat? I mean, maybe he gets a ticket for.
Maybe Carmella maybe gave him a ticket.
I don't know.
I mean, I wonder how many. I wonder how many CDs he sold.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of impressions on. It's a lot of impressions on Twitter.
Less than fucking Macho Man's album. Probably,
I mean, we don't have to talk about the tag team match. We don't have to talk about the women's 5-on-5.
Outside of the fact that SmackDown actually won a match and it didn't count because it was a pre-show.
I also think it's kind of strange that Nia Jax was the sole survivor, so that she's received. I mean, no kayfabe or no punishment. No shoot punishment to her kayfabe character, which is what happens a lot of times in situations like this when something goes awry.
She ruined a main event, and she's getting a push out of it. She was the sole survivor, and then she went over Monday.
She's gonna get a pay-per-view match versus Becky.
She's also in the Samoan Dynasty, so she can do no wrong.
I don't know. They punished her before, and she... I don't remember the story, though, nor do I care enough.
I just wanted to leave for a company that I don't watch.
Right. That'll bring us to our two count. Murray, what you got for the two count?
NXT fucking TakeOver War Games 2.
Unreal.
If you did not watch War Games 2 and you watch wrestling, you are sleeping like a motherfucker.
Yeah, pause this right now. Go watch it.
It is.
We already got the download.
Literally. Not only was it probably the best pay-per-view of 2018, but could easily be one of the best pay-per-views in a long, long time that WWE has produced. It was amazing. First of all, we got the big lie from Triple H telling us that we weren't going to get Riddle Ohno until the following today. Well, on NXT. Then what do we get? First thing that happens, Riddle comes out and said he didn't want to wait. Awesome. Everybody lit up. Of course, Ohno came out and talked a little shit for a second and then got kneed in the face in maybe 6.8 seconds, and Riddle went over. It was awesome.
It was a fun way to kick off the show.
It was.
Yeah, I guess everybody popped.
Yeah, there was a lot of people that were running it down on Twitter like, why don't you save it for a real match? It's like, you guys don't understand wrestling at all.
They'll give them the real match.
Yeah, they'll get
NXT.
A match out of it. You know that Ohno's going to want some retribution.
It was a preview.
So they'll
also, what a treat for the live crowd. Exactly. Just to get a chance to cheer your asses off within the first 5 minutes of the show.
Dude, Matt Riddle can jerk my curtain any day.
Bro.
That's right. He's a curtain jerker.
Dude, and it's funny because I don't know how many people outside of...
I think that was like
of,
my second AKA.
I don't know how many people podcast. Outside of, you know, WWE's product even knew who he was before jumping up. But not like the whole audience is chanting bro because they're just on board with it. So it was all, and he was also in some Kill Bill like looking outfit, which was kind of cool.
I wish he'd wear shoes, but that's just me.
I like that he doesn't. He reminds me of a Von Erich.
Yeah.
The women's NXT championship, Shayna Baszler and Kairi Sane. 2 out of 3 falls. I thought it was awesome. Zach even said the only thing, you know.
I got to say, the only detriment, so it was 10:55. 2 out of 3's fall match, 10:55. They did the thing they always do, which is a fall right off the bat. But even though it made sense in psychology, they had Kairi tapping out so that she wouldn't hurt herself for the rest of the match.
Right, and the announcers told that story really well.
They did. But there was also
interference.
There's a lot of interference, and we're going to get to it, but the War Games match was 47 minutes long.
Right.
Give 10 of those minutes to the 2 out of 3 falls match. They already did that Riddle Ohno thing, so they were already conscious of time. I just feel like it was a little rushed for a blow-off match, but it was still worked really well and told a great story.
I agree. I think Shayna Baszler's great. I think Kairi Sane's great. I think they, sneakily have a really cool rivalry going on now. I don't think that's the end of the rivalry.
I don't think so either.
Unless they move one of them up quicker
I think it's the end of the singles. And now with Dakota coming out, it's going to be like they're going to do a six woman tag.
When it comes to the women that came over from UFC and whatnot, I feel like even over Ronda, Shayna Baszler is like the Kurt Angle as far as catching on.
Oh, and as far as ring work.
Ring work, even talking
now. You mean when Triple H famously said that Kurt Angle caught on to the business of pro wrestling quicker than anybody else
I agree.
That he had ever seen yes. that came from outside of pro wrestling.
I think she's doing great. Like,
I'd say Matt Riddle's in that bunch too.
Same. Yeah, and that'll show soon enough. But I think Shayna Baszler's doing amazing considering the transition. Then my dude, Aleister Black, put down Ciampa. Not Ciampa, Gargano.
Match of the night for me.
I thought so too.
Not mine. I'll tell you mine in a minute, but not mine.
There was a lot of amazing spots in that match. I particularly love when Morello called after he threw Aleister Black into the announcer's tables, and Morello called him a son of a bitch, Ciampa, and Ciampa just, I'm on the wrong match again. So anyways, Aleister Black and Gargano awesome.
And Ciampa are so intertwined in our psyches
they really
that we
are.
Can't even
slipping on
say
one.
The right words.
But I mean, Ranello is, he is spectacular throughout the entire thing.
He's amazing.
Every single, and I saw some shit, I was watching it while I was looking at Twitter the other night, like I like to do if I'm not at a party or something, sometimes even if I'm at a party. Ooh. But, because I like, and I saw some people talking shit about how they don't like Mauro Ranallo. It's like, what are you guys talking about?
You're out your goddamn mind right
no,
now.
No, exactly, Jason. Nobody sells a big match like he does since Jim Ross, and I think Ranallo kind of takes what Jim Ross does.
Absolutely.
And it's on steroids. Like, he turns it up even more.
And he's modernized with it. Because he's also he really does a lot of other sports commentary. So
yeah. I think he can reach a wider audience and connect with more people than good old JR could.
Plus, his story is amazing. Like, there's a lot of reasons to like him, and I love him. I love him to death.
Yeah, he's a big advocate for, like, the normalcy of, mental health issues.
Right, exactly.
And, he's done a lot of good shit.
And that's all cool. Even if I didn't know that, I would be like, man, this guy tells a story of professional wrestling and is so dialed in to the kayfabe of professional wrestling that you can't help. And plus, it doesn't hurt that he does all NXT matches.
It's amazing.
And that NXT matches are made for drama. Mm-hmm. Takeover matches, at least. Takeover matches.
He is perfect on
say.
NXT. And if they move NXT, like, there's slight rumblings of NXT becoming a separate brand altogether and not just developmental. I hope he stays there.
I would just say don't fuck with it, man. I mean this can be a much larger conversation, and we'll get back to the matches, but I think that what WWE, what Vince in particular thinks that grabs a large audience and the widest audience is very sports entertaining, right?
I agree.
But I think if you tell stories about people that are just trying to beat each other, either out of hate or out of a desire to win a championship,
right,
that is just as attractive, not only to us smarks, but also to 12-year-olds, also to old ladies, it's not just us that like this stuff.
And they treat, like you just said, they treat the championships in NXT like gold. They treat them like
everybody,
they're supposed to be
everybody
treated.
Wants it.
None of the ones on the main rosters, nobody gives a shit what title and who has what.
Half the time, I can't even remember who
That's
has a title.
That's what I'm saying. And
Gargano,
NXT,
Gargano, kayfabe style, Gargano took out Aleister Black just because he didn't want Aleister Black to have another chance at it.
Yeah, exactly. And so, they're one of the first brands or whatever you want to call it in a long time that is able to tell.
I'd call them a brand.
80% of the story in the ring. Like, if you just turned on War Games
Absolutely.
As the pay-per-view and watched for the first time, watched that whole thing all the way through, you would be invested and know exactly what the fuck is going on. They're so good at telling
no
story.
Question about it.
So also,
I agree completely, and that's a good point.
The NXT Championship, Tommaso Ciampa finally, and he defeated Velveteen Dream.
This is my match of the night.
I it's teetered for me because I also really love this one.
They're both great.
Velveteen came out in the Hollywood Hulk Hogan gear. which I thought was pretty awesome. He did,
yeah,
the
especially
because
it was
thing.
LA. It was in, yeah.
And they teased it the whole match. Like there was a couple of the leg drops that he was trying to drop the whole.
Oh, he did.
And then once he finally got the leg drop, it was I even popped. Like yeah, not only yeah. Mike Hogan. So it was, but he knows exactly how to work that shit.
Absolutely,
dude's 23.
Especially because the dude's a young black guy,
yeah,
and we
exactly,
all know
yeah, exactly that's part of why.
Yeah, there's subtext there.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely.
And it's almost him being like, "Fuck you, I'm going to own this.
Right,
I'm going to make it mine." Now,
yep.
Well, almost as a fuck you to the racist.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely.
Exactly. I mean,
it might have been half homage, half fuck you, or 3/4 fuck you. You know,
take
anyway.
Over Chicago. He's coming out in a rebel flag.
remember in the early days when they were doing the whole legend killer thing with Randy Orton, and that was the way to get him over is just to crush all the legends.
Yeah.
I feel like they're kind of doing that in an even better way with Velveteen by kind of, cause he did the Rick Rude thing. He does, you know, a lot of Hogan. He did, you know, he's always bringing out all these characters from our past. So he's nostalgic.
And he kind of keeps it too.
And he does. He keeps
a little bit of it every time and then moves on to the next
it's
thing.
It's like that, that show Heroes, which I only watched like the first season of,
yeah,
but it's like that protagonist who like every time he was an empath. Yeah, so every time he would meet somebody, he would like take on their superpowers.
Yeah.
So like with Velveteen, it's like each time he's just like adding more to his arsenal, whether it's Savage's elbow drop or, you know, whatever.
And again, to your point, him, you know, he's only 23, which means if he's adapting all of these amazing wrestlers in this short amount of time, by the time he becomes the guy, which he will, and if he doesn't, I riot. He's going to be so absorbed with all of the best that there is no doubting he will be the man.
He's
going
to be unstoppable in a few years. Like
he's going to be doing the five-knuckle shuffle in just a few.
I'll like it finally.
Man, I know, right?
Man, what if he came out and did the five-knuckle shuffle? That place would have gone fucking nuts. If he would have done the five moves of doom.
Yeah.
he'd actually get that move over finally.
I mean, Velveteen Dream was the star of the night for me, and I know for a lot of other people. I don't want to, we already talked about Black and Gargano, and they were great. Gargano might be my wrestler of the year.
He was amazing in that match.
I mean, he's had a great body of work, and it's hard to extract him from Ciampa. Ciampa was unreal in this match.
Hot take, I think Johnny Gargano is the best wrestler in WWE.
He's definitely the best heel of all time.
I mean, I don't think that's Ciampa or Gargano.
Ciampa. Not of all time.
You can't
not
tell him apart anymore. He was talking about Gargano, but he says Gargano is the best wrestler in WWE. I don't know if I agree with that, but he's certainly in the conversation. Ciampa is the best heel going right now because he gets actual heel heat.
For sure. He does heel things.
It's real heel heat. It's not fucking Raw and SmackDown where it's just heat. It's like, you know, remember that Chappelle Show skit where it's like the Haters Club?
Oh yeah.
I feel like WWE creative team is just like the Heaters Club, and they're just in there and they're like heat. And Vince is like, yeah boys, put some more water in Buck Nasty's mama's dish. And like,
your mother wears underwear with dick holes in them.
exactly. But yeah, Ciampa gets real heat.
Yeah, he unfollowed WWE on Twitter, which is hilarious.
So good.
It's so good. But that was my match. That was my match of the night. And that was a lot. There's no wrong answer if you choose either one of them. Oh, the women's match was really good. And they packed a lot of good stuff in the 13 minutes.
It was kind of short, but it was great.
Like I said, or like Zach said, I wish that the War Games match, and we can move on to that next, would have given 10 minutes of their match to Baszler, Kairi Sane, to let them tell a better story, because the War Games match,
it was long.
While it was great and had a bunch of great spots, it was long as shit. 47 minutes. Was it 47 or 54? I mean,
47-10.
That's a really, really long match. And while I liked it, and I'm not one of these War Games purists who think that there should be a lid on the...
I don't give a shit. I didn't watch back then. So.
I didn't watch back then either, and I don't give a shit. I think War Games is kind of a silly concept for a kayfabe match.
Actually, whenever I was a kid, I watched it, and I remember like watching War Games like live, and like it was cool and like it was brutal. It's a cool idea, but it's kind of campy.
It is a little campy.
Like, so I mean, it's
nobody can get pinned
match.
Until they're all in.
That's
the
thing.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
It's a cool gimmick match, but it's always like convoluted. Like you tweeted out, the rules were fucking a full page long, And then the rules don't even matter because they try to fucking lock Pete Dunne in, and in kayfabe style, why would you even do that? Because if he can't get in the ring, then nobody can ever win, ever.
Right.
Well, not only that,
and
but
why would the referees wait until his timer went off to cut him out? It's like, just cut him out.
And they kept pushing around the cages. All you had to do was just lift up. There was no bottom to those cages, so any one of those guys could have just been like, whoop.
We sound like not fan of wrestling. Like, it was like, you know, like you could just like kick the guy in the face and just pin him right now. Like,
kayfabe, but kayfabe matters.
But it does.
The thing is, I will say that spot locking him in and how everybody was trying to get out before him and leaving him as last, I loved that. Honestly,
I'd like that bit of storytelling. Also, I didn't hate the match at all. I thought
it was just really long.
I was thoroughly entertained.
It was really good.
And Ricochet is a special kind of talent,
dude. He's a beast.
Okay, so my question is this the best NXT roster that they've ever had? I mean, because they've had, and it's hard for me to remember who was with who. I remember that Finn Balor had a great run. I mean, Seth Rollins is almost too long ago to even remember, because that was back
first season.
Well, that was 2000. So that was 6 years ago. So that was 2012 and shit. But I mean, they had Kevin Owens and Nakamura on the same. They had, even since then, what are the other NXT matches that we've talked about?
I feel like you have to say, I would have to say that it is, because I just said that Gargano's best in the company. You got Ciampa, who's the best heel. You got Kyle, the Undisputed Era. You got Kyle O'Reilly and Roderick Strong, who are two of the best wrestlers in the world.
Who are in a faction.
Adam Cole, who is over the top with charisma and is great in the ring. Pete Dunne, who is so young and so good. We talk about Velveteen Dream. I think Pete Dunne, work rate-wise, I mean, is leaps and bounds above Velveteen Dream.
Oh, yeah.
And his character works great, too. It's just not so...
They have different styles. Yes, go ahead. Sorry.
Dream can be carried to a really great match, but Dunn can carry to a great match.
Okay, I agree with that. And what they've done with Dream, which is very smart, is they've put Dream in matches with great wrestlers.
And it works, because you can see when he works with other guys.
I mean, he was in there with Ciampa, who's a great veteran wrestler. He was in there with Black,
an amazing match, him and Black.
Yeah, him and Black was fucking crazy. EC3 is... he's fine. He's good.
But Ricochet, I mean, Aleister Black, you know, I mean, Matt Riddle.
EC3 is also a veteran who can have a good match. I don't want to shit on
him. He can
EC3
have a good match, but
he looks harder.
He's like a Vince guy. He looks better than he like is.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Lars Sullivan wasn't even on this pay-per-view, and Lars Sullivan is really fucking good as a big monster type dude.
And they've been promoting him on both Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah, he's coming up.
So I don't know where he's going, because they put him on both shows.
Well, I'm afraid
Vince must have watched NXT once.
Right. Man, Vince, it's all about the booking. You know this.
Exactly, Jason. And Vince is going to see Lars Sullivan one time, and he's like, that's my next Heidenreich.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
And what sucks is because Heidenreich...
He's going to fuck Michael Cole in the ass.
Heidenreich lasted 8 seconds, and Lars Sullivan's actually really good. So
Heidenreich only lasted 8 seconds when he fucked Michael Cole?
Yes.
And that's also... I know sell him too. That's that also has to do with how much wrestling has evolved since
I agree
Heidenreich was in there. I mean, guys like Lars Sullivan's size didn't do shit 15 years ago.
No. Well, and that kind of goes to your point too about, is this roster of NXT better than any other? I mean, NXT has evolved as in general a
lot. That's true.
Since
NXT
then.
Is not what it was.
It has changed with every generation of roster switch. So it really has just gotten better and better as a show completely.
We didn't even talk about the women. Tony Storm, Io Shirai.
Right.
Jesus Christ.
Well, Bayley, Charlotte, like all.
Bayley, Charlotte, come Sasha from Banks.
All of the top dogs on the main rosters, oddly
Becky
enough,
Lynch, right?
are from NXT, except for the ones that are newer and matter, like Asuka and whatnot. But, I mean,
she was the queen of NXT.
So I have a question coming back to the women, but before we get too far into it, we got to hurry up and get to our three counts. Two beer, what you got?
Yeah, so the three count today, you guys might have seen the rumors, I don't know, a few weeks ago, a couple months ago. Who knows about time? I don't when I'm in this alcoholic haze that I live. But there was a rumor going around that Jim Ross and Jericho were going to open up a wrestling promotion. And I mean, it was refuted. They both denied it like pretty heavily. Although with Jericho, you never know, because he'll say he's not doing something, then he'll do it that next day. But we do know for sure that there have been some trademarks filed for AEW, All Elite Wrestling. So it's interesting because in that rumor with Ross and Jericho, it was supposed to be financially backed by the Khan family, who own the Jacksonville Jaguars. And they are the ones who filed this trademark. So All Elite is obviously tied to Young Bucks, Cody Rhodes. Some of the trademarks that they've filed are All Elite Wrestling, AEW All Out, All Out AEW, Double or Nothing, which has been the tag for the possible second All In, Tuesday Night Dynamite, which sounds like a fucking weekly show, AEW Double or Nothing, and then a bunch of logos and stuff like that. So really interesting. We know a lot of these guys, their contracts are up. Cody's contract with ROH is up at the end of the year. We know he's wrestling Tokyo Dome. He says he wants to wrestle in Japan some. Young Bucks contract's up at the end of the year. Omega's contract's up pretty soon. So we don't really know where these guys are going yet. We don't know what's going to happen, but this is an indication that something is happening, whether it's a new promotion, whether it's just a new faction that is going to invade other promotions, who knows? But, you know, there's some shit on the horizon that's going to be big for the independent wrestling scene.
What's the best case scenario in your mind for it?
It's tough. If there's camaraderie and there's collaboration, a promotion would be super cool. We got Lucha Underground that's probably on the outs. There's a lot of talent from CMLL, AAA that are actually kind of working together for the first time in, 25 years. There's ROH talent, New Japan. If everybody wants to play nice,
So
there's room for, you can argue that we're oversaturated, or you can argue that there's room for more.
So, so I'll ask you this, Murray. Your best case scenario for this, would you rather, let's say it is a new promotion, okay? Would you rather be a new promotion? Do you want another 2 hours of wrestling to watch weekly, or would you rather be NXT adjacent to where there might be 6 3-hour pay-per-views a year put on really well, and if you have to, you can go back and catch up on the storylines? But I mean, you might catch these 6 3-hour pay-per-views a year. Like, what would you want as a wrestling fan the most?
I'm not saying I would hate the idea of having another 2-hour special of another exciting promotion.
Like a weekly show,
of course.
Yeah,
I would watch it if I had the ability to. When it comes to these guys, I wouldn't doubt if maybe they might do something with YouTube or something online where maybe that the Tuesday night thing might be something like,
being the elite,
but an actual that mixed with wrestling and stuff in the promotion. I'm not against it. Do I think there's a lot of wrestling right now? There is a decent amount. Do I think it's a bad thing that there's more and more popping up? No, because think of the last time we had too much wrestling. Everybody loved wrestling. And there was the competition going on. Now, granted, that's taking WWE completely out. They're Walmart at this point. So, that doesn't count. But
I get by with just enough to talk about for WWE, and I watch NXT and NXT UK
exactly
religiously. The rest of the stuff comes from as little as I can possibly get away with watching.
Right.
So I can watch other stuff.
Exactly. I catch up a lot on Thursday afternoons when I'm at work. And just to get ready for the podcast. But I'm always sitting around Monday night. Like, Tuesday nights, I don't watch SmackDown Live. But Monday night, I'm always sitting there watching Raw and flipping between Raw and something else. But, like, I'll always DVR it, and I always watch it. But, like, I burn through Raw within... I burn through SmackDown within 20 minutes, unless there's something, like,
it's
a
funny
big
because
match
it's actually
that I want to watch.
If I am watching a show... I'm going to watch SmackDown because it's like a better, less bloated show. It's funny that you'll like sit through Raw. It's like,
well, no, Mondays are just like
easier
for your schedule.
Easier for me, for my schedule, gotcha, to just sit there and not, gotcha, do anything. Tuesdays, I might have other things going on, but Mondays, I'm never just not detoxing after nice. The weekend. You know what I mean? So that is exciting news. I'm of the opinion that the more wrestling, the better, because obviously there's been a lot more wrestling in the last 5 years If you take NXT, the advent of NJPW in America, which has been much greater than it was 5 years ago.
And European wrestling in America.
And you got Lucha, Lucha Libre wrestling, and all of a sudden this drives WWE to continue with its regular product, but also put out this NXT product that is off the frickin' chain. Am I right, guys?
Yeah.
I mean,
right,
it's fucking,
bro.
Am I right, bro? It's fucking crazy. It's so much fun to watch. And they do 5 pay-per-views a year, and every single one of them is an event.
Overshadows the main roster pay-per-views that happen
every
the next
time.
Night. Every
I couldn't
single say, time.
I couldn't name a single takeover that wasn't better than the main roster.
I agree.
Well, that's because it's never happened.
Yeah.
Ever since they started doing takeovers. That's going to do it for our 3 count. And we got that third, that's F&B Eatery, that third advertiser. They are part of what Jason likes to call our Southampton Mafia. They're at 3453 Hampton, that's Southampton in St. Louis, Missouri. I finally went there, guys. I got the burger, and when they say that it's the best burger you've never had, they are serious as shit. I got the patty melt because I'm a fan of rye and sautéed onions.
That's smash patty.
The patty melt was good as shit. They also have a breakfast menu that you can go there and get that's I'll admit I've never had the breakfast, but they have slingers, they have omelets, breakfast sandwiches. They are down there on Southampton. Go get yourself some F&B Eatery. They're the newest sponsor of the show, so let them know that you love them. Let them know that Band from Ringside sent you.
This is Band from Ringside.
Okay, we'll get to some odds and ends. Okay, so this is what I wanted to talk about. Not much happened on Raw and SmackDown this week, so we can skip most of it.
5 hours, barely anything.
Barely anything. The Daniel Bryan...
Learn a new language. Learn to code.
The Daniel Bryan...
Learn to play an instrument. Sorry, I'm just going to keep saying learn things. Okay, go ahead.
The Daniel Bryan promo was really good. It was a really great heel promo that he almost gave like he was Gollum versus what was the other Gollum? What was Gollum's?
Schmeagol.
Okay, like he was like Schmeagol and Gollum. Like, and he talked about being in the hyperbaric chamber and how being in the silence in the hyperbaric chamber changed him. And I thought that was a really good promo. Like, awesome. it's a new take.
It was like Bane.
Even though I could tell that everything he was saying was not true, he believed what he was saying, and that's what got it
and
over.
When he grabbed the ring announcer and made the ring announcer announce him as the new Daniel Bryan, I was like, ah, that's good.
He's having so much fun with it. Good for him, man.
Finally.
I'm having fun with it.
Exactly. He likes being a heel. Seth and Dean had a really good fight at the end of Raw with Dean getting
posted up in front of that Pontiac again. What the fuck is up with that? Is that like his regular fucking car?
Fog ass lights.
Dean also got the better of him.
I used to smoke weed in one of those like every day after school. Is like a 1996 Pontiac, just like that.
Yeah, that. I mean, no, I was in a Fiero.
Ooh, high class.
I jumped from car to car.
So Braun Strowman wasn't allowed to get his hands on Baron Corbin this week. Instead, they're going to have a TLC match.
Maybe.
The funniest part about that is like, hey, you could pick the stipulations. And Braun's like, TLC. I was like, yeah, it is TLC.
Yeah,
that's not, you're not doing anything special, you fucking
idiot. You're going to get my tables, my ladders, my chairs, and these hands. Well,
it makes no sense.
But we might not get that match, which would be ideal, honestly. Yes. He's doing an elbow surgery. He's got a shattered elbow.
They fucked his elbow up on Raw anyway.
Braun, like, that was the injury angle, but he's got bone spurs in his elbow. So he is undergoing surgery, like, any minute.
Okay, so what I really want to talk, hypotheticals with you guys for the WrestleMania. I know it's a far way off. I know it's 4.5 months off, but we do have kind of a traffic jam here when you talk about Charlotte Flair, Becky Lynch, and Ronda Rousey in terms of what will be the most desirable match. And this could be the first year where a women's match headlines of WrestleMania. I wouldn't be surprised if it happened this year, considering how much the company seems to think of Ronda Rousey.
I seem to remember saying that last week, and there was somebody here that was just really not.
Was it me?
No, I don't know. I think it was Jason.
Oh, was it Jason? Well,
I just couldn't even get it out. They're like, that's not happening. It ain't
luckily
happening.
Jason's not here. We're all white and we can talk freely.
Oh, God damn.
he'll like that when he listens, I promise. So there's four possibilities that I've laid out here, and I'm going to ask you to rank them in what you would like to see the most or what you would like to see the worst. And it's Becky Lynch versus Charlotte, Becky Lynch versus Ronda Rousey, Ronda Rousey versus Charlotte, or a triple threat match between the three. Murray, I'll let you go first.
As much as after Survivor Series and seeing what Charlotte and Ronda could do, I would like to say I would love to see Becky Ronda, but I want to see a conclusion on the Charlotte Ronda. I'm not Ronda, Charlotte Becky. I want to see something happen with that since they didn't really get a chance. I like after she hugged her, they haven't had any interaction for real. So like, I want to see if they're going to close that off somehow.
Well, that was only a week ago.
Right. So I personally, I would rather see Charlotte Becky.
That's your number one for as a WrestleMania match.
Yes.
Assuming they don't do any of these matches prior to WrestleMania.
I that's the one.
Becky Charlotte. Yes. Zach.
So yeah, assuming they don't do any of them prior, that Charlotte Becky match was one of the best matches of the year on the main roster already.
Charlotte Becky from Evolution. Right.
That being said, if they have some mix of these matches, you know, triple threat, there's no three bigger stars as far as female roster than Charlotte, Becky, Ronda. And if they're all at each other's throats, the hug is what throws me off. But if Becky comes back, because she's on social media talking shit.
Mad shit.
To Flair and to Ronda. Like, if they can keep that going, that could be a lot of fun. Because we've already seen...
Would you keep Becky off of TV for a couple weeks? Or for like a month? Or Ooh. Do you think that might cool her off?
No, I don't think it's going to cool her off.
Yeah, I think if anything...
pop even heavier.
Yeah, exactly. I would keep her out for a while.
So keep her out for like a month?
Yeah, absolutely.
No more than a month.
Yeah. And keep her with her social media game strong.
Or maybe wait
till TLC, have her run in on some shit.
That's
either one.
Have everybody pop and then have her move into Royal Rumble. Maybe have her, well, she's a champ, so she's not going to win Royal Rumble. But, man, it's hard to keep somebody hot for 4 months, though. I know that she's the hottest. I think this is where booking is a little above my pay grade, because if you're trying to keep people hot on TV, going from TLC to Royal Rumble, which is in January, to WrestleMania, which is either at the end of March or the beginning of April, usually at the beginning of April.
I think the way to keep her hot,
that's hard.
Right.
Here to keep her hot, strip her of the title. Say she can't wrestle within 30 days. She's hurt. Strip her of the title.
Let him book the territory, people. Let him book the territory.
Let her get so mad that she just fucking runs roughshod and she wins the Rumble. And then she gets to pick her opponents. And
ooh, if they stripped her from the title, you're right.
She wants to get both Raw and SmackDown's women champions.
Yeah, so like Charlotte and as a unification match, like one champ. Yeah,
that's a great idea. That's a great idea. The only reason my answer was not that I was going to say Becky versus Ronda, because we've already seen Becky versus Charlotte. We already had what was a spectacular women's match between them. I don't know why I said women's. Spectacular match between them. The only reason that I'm against the triple threat is because...
Oh, he's against the triple threat!
Is because Becky, Charlotte, and Sasha had a WrestleMania triple threat match 2 or 3 years ago, and maybe 4 years ago, but they stole the show.
I already don't remember it.
That was the best match of the entire WrestleMania. I remember walking out of it being like...
if it was 4 years ago, I wasn't watching.
This is when I said shit, and there was no microphone in front of me. I was like, well, that was the best match of the night, was Becky, Sasha, Charlotte as the triple threat match. So that's why I'd be against the triple threat. My vote would be for Becky versus Ronda if they wait until WrestleMania to have it. I also know there's a danger in waiting till WrestleMania to do a match like that, because anybody can get hurt at any time, as evidenced by Becky getting hit by Nia Jax.
Bliss is going to come back by WrestleMania, and she's going to be challenging Ronda for the title at WrestleMania, and Nia is going to somehow be entwined in that.
I know Bliss might be done.
No. I mean, I love Alexa Bliss, but she is... I mean, Becky Lynch and Charlotte are in a different stratosphere.
I totally agree with that. I'm just saying, I'm thinking like WWE right now.
Yeah,
that's not my opinion. That's just what I think. It's my opinion based on WWE's product.
I've been kind of thinking Bliss is done.
Nia's going to be in there, and
I think they might do Nia and Becky at Royal Rumble somehow. Wow. Just to have Becky
Fastlane or fucking
just to have Becky Squasher or something.
This is banned from ringside.
All right, guys, we're almost out of time. There wasn't much else to talk about with Raw or SmackDown.
Do you have birthdays?
We have our birthdays.
I've got one you might not have. Go ahead.
Elias is 31. Beth Phoenix is 38 this week. Ivory is 57. British Bulldog, RIP, would have been 56. Eric Rowan is 37, and Summer Rae is 35. What you got?
L.I.J. is 3 years old. Happy birthday.
Man, this is Comedy Central, dog.
He's just a toddler now. Hey, everybody, we know there's tons of podcasts to listen to, so we appreciate the hell out of you listening to ours. For Soul Taco.
Check.
For JJ Twiggs on Southampton.
Check.
For F&B Eatery.
Check.
For Shock City Studios.
Check.
For Sam the Mauler Mall.
Check.
For Murray the Murray Man Murray.
Check.
For
check.
Two Beers Zach Pullman.
Check.
For JCB, Jason Cornelius Bell. We miss check. You. I am Pumpkin Shasta Pie. And everybody, happy Thanksgiving. Boo the heels.
And when we lose our control, we're banned from ringside. Know what I am. I'm a common man. I'm banned from ringside. Ditch that 9 to 5.